Hey everyone, welcome to our next installment of Taking Stock. It has been a long time, and as I mentioned during our chat, I sincerely apologize. I wish I had a better excuse outside of just being extremely busy, but I'm excited to get back for this discussion and really excited to get back on a more frequent basis going forward. So we're going to be welcoming back Amy Levine to our chat. She was with us last time, if you recall. And also welcoming in for the first time, Reed McKenzie. So Amy and Reed are going to build upon the series of discussions around consumer engagement. We're going to talk about why it's so important to know your consumers. We're going to talk about a definition of consumer engagement and what it means for consumer products companies and what it entails. And we're going to have a really interesting discussion around what are some key metrics for success to ensure that you're doing it well, knowing that consumer engagement is absolutely a journey. What are those steps that you need to take to ensure that you're progressing along that journey? So, thanks for being a loyal listener. Thanks for sticking with us through this this hiatus, and enjoy the conversation. We'll talk to you on the other side. Reed and Amy, welcome to Taking Stock. How you both doing?
Doing great.
I'm doing well today.
Awesome. I feel we have been on a long hiatus. I wish there was some better reason, like I took a 4 month sabbatical or I was vacationing, throughout the globe, but I've just been really busy. So to all of our listeners, I apologize. It's been a while. The last time we got together, Amy, we were together. So this is your second time here. So welcome back.
Thank you.
And Reed, this is your first time, so welcome to the world famous Taking Stock.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
All right, we're going to keep this fun. We're actually going to build upon the discussion that we had, Amy, last time, where kind of at a high level, we're talking about consumer engagement and we're digging into different elements of it. I wanted to start with you, Amy, if we could. We're going to talk a lot about the why, but I know we talked about it last time. Let's kind of level set again around kind of a definition of consumer engagement. It could mean so many different things in so many different industries. But if you think about the world that we live in within consumer products, like how would you define consumer engagement?
Yeah, I think it's great to reset because it has been a while, but excited to continue the conversation. when you think about consumer engagement, it's easy for that to, be something to think, oh, well, that's what marketing does, or that's what our social media team does, or that's our content. But consumer engagement is really understanding why consumers are connecting with your product, what they expect from your products and your brand. And how you can make sure you're delivering what they expect and exceeding those expectations, and thinking about that across the organization. So every person in a consumer products company, is responsible for consumer engagement. Ultimately, it really runs the gamut from your supply chain team and your innovation and your operations teams, all the way to your marketing and your sales teams who are a little bit more on the front line. So, really understanding your consumers and what their motivations are, is central to any consumer products company.
Yeah, so that's great. I appreciate you kind of resetting from where we were last time. Reed, I want to pull you in. So, to me, when I think about consumer engagement, and this might seem elementary, but what is most foundational, as Amy alluded to, is knowing your consumers, right? You need to understand your consumers, kind of when they purchase, how they use their products, why they're using their products. Talk a little bit about that and curious to hear your perspective. You got a pretty cool background prior to joining Clarkston. Talk about knowing your consumers and why this is so critical, and maybe some steps that companies are taking to better understand their consumers.
Sure. I mean, I do want to say it sounds very elementary, like you said, but it is not. It is very difficult. A lot of companies sell products, put them on shelf, people buy them, but don't totally understand who's purchasing them or why they're purchasing them. And so one of those things that many companies look at is the path to purchase, understanding when a customer walks in a store, where do they go first? When they're looking for that item, where do they go first? What do they look for when they're looking for an item? And part of that is when they're trying to develop or create a new item, it's understanding what are those customers also seeing, what background do those customers have that would really drive a desire for a certain flavor or a certain context or a certain goodie bag or maybe a certain size. You know, some of those things in the past is I've worked with e-commerce companies, and one of the big pushes with them is to get large club sized packaging because e-commerce ships directly to a door. So customers don't want to lug a giant package through the store. If they know they're going to purchase it anyway, they'll order it online. They'll get a 60 count, have it shipped directly to their door. They're carrying it 10 feet from the welcome mat of their house into their pantry rather than the aisle of the store to the checkout counter, to the car, to home, and then from their car indoors. And so it's really understanding what is your customer looking for when you're creating items, when you're putting them on shelf, when you're creating an assortment or a pricing strategy, and then understanding, you know, what do those customers want out of that value proposition when you sell it to them?
Yeah. So let's dig into a few elements of that. So the first, like you talked about kind of the, when I think about what product do consumers want, I think about innovation. I think about how potentially consumer engagement is helping with the ideation of new products. So what are some specific things that companies are doing to understand or how companies are leveraging consumer data and consumer understanding to drive the innovation process and to ensure that the products that they're delivering are aligned with consumer expectations? I mean, I would gather it's ultimately like data and analytics is a huge component of that. But talk a little bit further around it. Maybe we'll start with you here.
Sure. I think one, it's gathering the right sets of data first, which often comes through market research. It comes through third-party syndicated data if you sell it off a shelf. It comes through click-through data if you're on D2C or e-commerce. And so it's really understanding what the goal is to understand the customer and understand the shopper, and then establishing or getting the right sets of data. And then from there, it's developing strategies to follow the customer through that want cycle, that desire cycle for the item, whether that's a path to purchase, whether that's being in their kitchen and they think, oh, I really need a creamer for my coffee, but I actually want to use condensed milk instead. I want something sweeter. It's what data set will allow you to understand what your customer wants when they reach for your item, or when they think about your item, or when your item could go into that need state. And from there, backtracking through the data path to understand how you can fill that. If it's a flavor, if it's an item type, if it's a packaging type, a pricing style, that's really where you would start.
Yeah, and I can build on that a little bit.
So, yeah, go ahead, Amy.
Yeah, and building on that, I think it's really important to make sure when you're thinking about that data set that you're not limiting your view too much, especially when you're thinking about innovation, because sometimes organizations, you buy certain data, you have a certain category that you're selling in, but you really want to expand that out. So you're looking at your adjacencies and complementary products, because you could be missing opportunities if you're too focused on the category you currently sell in. And there may be opportunities in the data, but you're not looking at as Reed said, the right data or large enough data sets or broad enough. So it's really critical as you go through that innovation process that you're not limiting yourself too much, because that's where sometimes it may be a small micro innovation that you can do that lands you in a different category, a different part of the store, a different set that can change the game.
Yeah, we talked about e-commerce a bit, right? And I want to kind of dig into the when they purchase. So obviously, you talked about consumer engagement allows companies to ensure that the right products are hitting the right consumers through the right channels. I want to dive into the channel piece of it. Obviously, if we think about how the consumer products industry has evolved over the years, from traditional brick and mortar to building out e-commerce presence through direct-to-consumer presence. How, obviously, it's a lot more complex, right? It's not just about ensuring that the right products are in the right consumers, but it's also making sure that those right products are where consumers are shopping at that particular point in time. Talk a little bit more about that. I'll throw this out to either Amy or Reed, either of you. Just how do you ensure that those right products are at the right channels at the right time?
Yeah, I can take a first pass and then hand it over to Reed. You know, I think it's, as Reed said earlier, really understanding why consumers are in that particular channel and what their expectations are. So again, really listening and having a back and forth relationship with your consumer. So you understand if they're shopping on online at particular channels, what they're looking for. If they're in a drug channel, you may have different needs, right? You might be there to pick up a prescription and you're grabbing some other things at the same time. So your expectations for those products, it could be the same product, but you're hitting a different need state if you're at a different place. And if you think about how your own habits form, you know, when you're stopping at a convenience store, what you need or looking for is very different than when you're going to a club store, for instance, or a mass merchant. So, you know, it one size fits all doesn't work anymore. It, you know, used to be that you could say, I'm putting a product into market and everybody's getting the same thing. That day is fairly well past us. And you really have to think about what format, what packaging, the size, the price, all of those considerations are really critical today to get it right.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, and I think back.
Sorry, go ahead, Steve.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, playing off, there was an example used in the last podcast, last Taking Stock one, using some energy bars. And, you know, one thing that comes to mind is, you know, if you're a mom who's purchasing a meal bar or an energy bar, there's an opportunity for the company to market at, say, a Costco, where the mom knows she's purchasing it. Maybe she's purchasing it for the family, for a significant other, for kids, for someone else in the family that isn't her. And so she'll be purchasing a large pack, maybe a value pack, a lot of bars all at the same time, versus if she's on the road at a gas station trying to get from one place, from point A to point B very quickly, and she needs to pop in, grab a very quick meal replacement bar, then she only wants to purchase one. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to sell a 60 count box of energy bars at a gas station when your consumer's need at that point of time is a single bar, maybe a trial size bar, whatever that looks like. And then the other thing, you know, a lot of companies, when you're talking packaging, again, you had mentioned e-commerce or wanting to touch on that a little bit specifically. One need state that people don't often think about, but is very prevalent in e-commerce is it's shipped to the customer, and the customer doesn't want a broken item when it gets to them. So you have to completely redo your packaging to ensure that it isn't broken by the time it gets to the customer. And that's an entirely different need state than, you know, a flavor profile or a count or a price, but it's still within that channel something extremely relevant to the customers to ensure they're not getting a defective or a broken item by the time it reaches them. So what kind of packaging needs to be taken into account to ensure that all those items are taken care of and that need state is met for the customer.
Yeah, and to you brought up kind of a little bit of cross-functional considerations earlier, Amy. I think when I think about, I brought up data and analytics as being kind of foundational capability to do a lot of what you just referenced, Reed, but also kind of being able to think cross-functionally. So Amy, maybe you could build upon that. Like, how are organized? Like, this is not just a marketing challenge and or opportunity to truly drive consumer engagement. Maybe talk a little bit about how companies should be thinking about this cross-functionally, as opposed to just here marketing. Go figure this out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, operations is a critical component to these conversations. You know, a lot of times, depending on a consumer products company and either their own manufacturing capabilities or where they're getting co-manufactured products from, it can limit what your you know, what the, or seemingly limit what those opportunities are. And that can be something an organization can face that can limit that innovation opportunity if you're too focused on what can we make versus what should we make. And what does the consumer want versus what we can produce are two very different questions. And it's really critical to start from what does the consumer want and what are they looking for? And then back into how do we get it to them? And so, but having that cross-functional relationship across the organization, so everybody's on the same page about what you're trying to do, why it matters, and having a collective sense that we're trying to meet that consumer need really is critical, because otherwise you can have an organization working at cross-functional purposes where you have a marketing team trying to do one thing and an operations team trying to do something else.
As far as consumer engagement goes, I love that line of what can we do versus what should we do, right? You can sell shoes at Barnes & Noble, but that doesn't mean you should sell shoes at Barnes & Noble. And I think that's the lens that with when you look at anything for your consumer or for your customer, what should you be doing to reach them? Where should you meet them versus what can you do? And a lot of companies or a lot of great minds get stuck in that, well, I can do it, so I'm going to do it, rather than that optimized, what should I do? So that, I love that, Amy. That's fantastic.
One of the things that I wouldn't say I struggle with, but I would gather it's a massive challenge. It used to be, you think back to when we were, you know, younger, there was very, I would say, stereotypical consumers that fit different channels. There was the type of consumer who was shopping in drug versus shopping in mass versus shopping in convenience. It was very easy to define. That's all out the window. Right. And really all consumers are shopping at all channels at different times, which makes this all immensely more challenging, right? To kind of think through, okay, this isn't the right type of, you mentioned earlier, like the type of person, Reed, who's stopping for a quick fix at a convenience store might be very different than someone who's shopping in a club. Maybe that's hard to, that's easier to delineate, but otherwise there's such kind of redundancy across channels if you think about consumers and channels and who's shopping for what types of products, right?
Yeah, and I'd say even when you know, the same channel, it can be a different experience depending on your mindset, really. It really is about mindset. You know, one of the classic examples is you go to, you know, if you go to Las Vegas, and you're going with your partner, you're having a very different experience than when you go for a corporate event, or you go, right, as a family, or you're going with some girlfriends, right? So it's, you're going to the same place, but you're having an entirely different experience. And that's the same in channels, right? If you're depending on what you're shopping, when and why. And so the same consumer can be in the same place and have an entirely different mindset. And that's really complex and hard to manage, but really critical, because we can't just segment and say, we're going to go after these Gen Xers, because that same person puts on a different hat and has a different purchasing habit.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I think that's critical, is understanding that each channel fills a different need state. Just like we were talking a little bit earlier, is the channel in and of itself has almost become the delivery mechanism for the need, and less about the place to get the item, right? Your item can be almost anywhere, but within that specific channel, is it meeting the need of the customer at that time for that type of shopping trip?
Yeah. And at that time is critical, right? That's, you know, understanding at that particular moment. How, as we round out the chat, I'll ask both of you, what are, I'm not going to say what are the key metrics of success. If you're a consumer products company, what are some ways to measure or some key indicators that you're doing this well, right? We are obviously result oriented in what we do. And if you want to know, like, I am making small incremental steps to better engage with my consumers, what are some results that we should be seeing? And I'm asking for more specific examples than, yes, just overall business growth. And, right, just what are some things that would be an indicator for a company to say, okay, I'm on the path to doing this more effectively? Amy, maybe let's start with you.
Sure. I think one of the indicators is looking at some of your social media engagements and really understanding and seeing how are those consumers engaging with you on social media. Are they sharing and are they commenting? And those, you know, that kind of engagement can often be glossed over, but is really telling for a consumer products company about how much you're connecting and what that looks like. You know, depending on, and Reid, I'm sure you can chime in on some of the specifics around D2C. You know, really looking at your conversions and understanding when you're, you know, if you're losing consumers along that path to purchase, where you're losing them. And so there's some firm metrics that more of the quantitative, but I wouldn't lose sight of the qualitative ones in this world, because I would say today more than ever, consumers want to be heard and they want to know that you're listening and you're hearing them.
No, that's very close to what I was going to say. I was going to say reviews, which might be a little outdated to an extent, but you know, if you're doing something right, people will let you know that you're doing it right. Likewise, if you're doing it wrong, people will be sure to let you know you're doing it wrong. So you'll get both sides of the coin there. And I think too is, you know, it's not just overall business growth, but it's really defining an area you want to target and then measuring that specific area. So, you know, my thought is if you release a new flavor profile, if you want to understand your customers in a certain market, maybe it's, you know, identifying a minority or a specific flavor set that a high percentage of customers in that market would want. You're not just measuring your overall portfolio, but you're measuring how successful is that flavor launch. Or if you're managing your supply chain to meet the needs of a customer in a certain channel or in a certain market, and you reframe the supply chain a little bit to say, you know, we're going to ship more items to the club channel because we think that's where our customers are going. That's where it seems like our trips are happening most. You know, is that being successful by giving it a little bit more of those looks, a little bit more of a targeted approach, and then you can measure that one singular approach rather than just overall business growth. It's really identifying it and almost A/B testing, if you will, to figure out, you know, does this one strategy work? And if it does, then we know we're on the right track. We know we're making good assumptions. We know we're making good research or utilizing that data well. And if it's not working, then it's back to the drawing board. Try something else. Take a small approach and going for it again.
Yeah, I love that, Reid. I think that like most things, I think agility and a nimbleness and a test and learn methodology works extremely well. I appreciate your both perspective on that, because, you know, ultimately this is going to be a journey for most companies, regardless of how mature you might be now. It's a journey to get to where you want to go. And I think having small step measures and incremental measures of success, I think is important for companies to think about. So thank you both very much for the discussion. I know we danced around a bunch of different topics. Appreciate your all's perspective, you know, very much. Enjoy the dialogue and look forward to continued discussions next time you both hop on.
Me too. Thank you, Steve.
All right. Thanks, all. We'll talk soon. All right. So thank you, Amy and Reid, for a great discussion. And most importantly, as always, thank you to everyone for listening. Really enjoyed the perspective that they brought to bear. And as I said at the top, this is a key driver of competitive advantage for consumer products companies, the ability to understand your consumer. But the measurement of success is critical. And I think that there are small steps that companies need to take along that journey, as I said, that's going to ensure that they are doing this effectively, understanding the consumers, understanding what it is they want to buy, why it is they want to buy it, and where it is they want to buy it. So hopefully there were some small nuggets of insight that you could take back to your own business to help drive competitive advantage for you and your organization. We're going to continue the discussion around consumer engagement with Amy coming up here in the next couple of weeks. And then following that, I'll have a lot of good topics and a lot of good guests that we're going to be bringing onto the pod, and look forward to your continued engagement and continued listening of the show. We'll talk soon.